Okay, sorry for the pause there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that my voice is strong in the name of Yeshua. I thank you, Father, that every word will be spoken just as you want it spoken in the name of Yeshua. No weapon formed against me can prosper in Yeshua's name. So, as I was again preparing for the Shabbat teaching, I actually had a different lesson prepared already, and that was on Melchizedek and Yeshua, which we'll share next week. But I just felt that that wasn't what the Father wanted to say today. And what he put on my heart was to encourage us in our faith and the authority we have in Messiah Yeshua so we can fulfill his commission to go and to reach this generation in our again vineyard where he has placed us for Messiah Yeshua. We have again, most of us live here in the Chicago area. We have Aki who's in Iceland, and God has brought us together for a purpose. And we want to fulfill that purpose, but a lot of times I think we're hindered from that because of fear or not being sure if the Father is going to be there with us, not being sure if, that the power and the anointing is going to be there that he wants us to have in our lives. And he just wants to encourage us that he is there with us. Again, we see from Abraham's life, again, he's an example of our faith. He's an example because, again, through Abraham would come the nation Israel and the Messiah and all the nations who would be grafted in. And here's Abraham. He heard the voice of God and he went up and left everything he knew, everything that, would have been considered secure to do what God had called him to do. Romans 4:3 says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God. That's key. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, again, another key word. Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. All of us, when we receive that call, we have no idea what the future is going to hold. We just know that, okay, he's placed a call upon our lives. We have to prepare for that call. And it's again, it's one day at a time, one step at a time, just like Abraham walked one step at a time, was led by the Ruach, wherever the Father led him, again, around across the land. Again, by faith, he believed that he would receive that inheritance through Isaac. Hebrews 11:17, by faith. Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. So here it was a covenant test, which we looked at. Well, we will be looking at a covenant test that Abraham truly had a covenant heart with Yahweh Elohim, and that Yahweh Elohim was asking him for everything. I mean, his whole future was wrapped up in Isaac. He was the promise, but Abraham knew that God would not lie. That what he said he would do, and even if he ended up slaying Isaac, that God would raise him from the dead to fulfill his word. But we know that the Father stopped him, and an angel came and stopped him and provided a sacrifice instead, a ram. Yes, he who had received the promises was offering up his one and only son. Again, in his mind, he had already offered him up. He had already given it all to him, but the Father stopped him. Why? Because he proved that he was a covenant faithful partner with Yahweh Elohim. James or Yaakov 2:23, the scripture was fulfilled that says, and Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. So here we need to realize that we have, again, the power of heaven backing us in Yeshua. Here we're looking in Mark, Yeshua had risen from the dead and he had appeared to them. And here he's giving them a rebuke. Why? Because of their unbelief. Later he appeared to them, the 11, as they were reclining at the table. He rebuked them for their unbelief and hard-heartedness because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had been raised. Again, time and time again, Yeshua was giving them hints, reminding them that, you know, that he would die in 3 days and then he would raise from the dead. He kept on preparing them for that and hinting at that, but they were again so, you know, grieved and, you know, no, we know he's dead. They forgot that God is a God of resurrection. So he rebuked them. Why? Because of their unbelief and hard-heartedness. He told them, go into all the world and proclaim the good news to every creature. Again, this is the commission to every born-again believer, is to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to every creature. And that world, you know, may just be like, you know, the area where we are living in. You know, that is our, again, our vineyard, the place where the Father has given us. Some may be sent out into other areas of the world, but we need to be faithful and we need to be obedient. Again, here's that word again. He who believes and is immersed shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. So God expects his children to live by faith, to believe what his word says, and to act on what his word says. That's why it's so important to speak the word out loud, because as you're speaking the word out loud, as you're again speaking forth his promises and his will, it is getting in your heart. And you'll find the more you speak the word, as you are praying, that word is going to be coming up out of your heart. You are going to, again, hear the voice of the Ruach. You are going to be given the strength and the courage that we need to go forth. It just seems like in the past week, the Father's just been really speaking to me about courage to go and do what he has called us to do, again, for us that are part of this ministry. That word hazak means to be strong in him. Again, that's been coming up. So why? Because he is preparing us, because the time is short. We don't know how short, but, you know, we all need to use the time that he's given us here on earth to finish the assignments he has given us. And that takes faith, that takes trust, that takes believing that he is there with us. And here's his promises. These signs will accompany those who believe. Okay, that another key, believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. They will handle snakes. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. Again, this is speaking about our spiritual enemies, HaSatan. They will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. Verse 19, then the Lord Yeshua, after he had spoken to them, was taken up to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and proclaimed everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word by the signs that follow. So we see here that they preached the word, and then as they were preaching the word, then the signs, the wonders, the miracles followed. But again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. When we minister to people, we need to give them the word first. If we're sharing salvation, we need to give them the word, what the word says about repentance and salvation, so they have something to act upon. If we're praying for them for healing, we need to give them what the word says about healing, what to build confidence, to build, you know, faith within their hearts to receive. Again, the lack of signs and wonders is, or the lack of things not manifesting in our life is not God's fault. It's our fault. Because somewhere in our hearts, if we're truthful, we've got that little bit of doubt that, well, I don't know, if is God really hearing me? Is he really going to heal me? Is he really going to do what he said he will do? Yes, he will, because he's not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of God that he should repent. Has he not said it, and will he not do it? He is faithful. John 14:11, believe me that I am in the Father, again, Yeshua speaking, and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the works themselves. So again, here is that word believe. We are to believe. We are to believe what God says. Amen, I tell you, He who puts his trust in me, it's the word imuna, the works that I do, he will do, and greater than these he will do. Why? Because I'm going to the Father. I'm going to multiply myself, multiply my power and anointing within all those who walk with me. He goes on to say, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So here, his name, he has given us the power of attorney. And power of attorney is a legal term that somebody gives somebody the authority to act on their name, gives them all legal authority to act on their behalf. This is what Yeshua is doing. He is giving us all power and authority in his name to act upon his behalf, to do what he called us to do, to go preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, see people delivered, you know, and everything that he had promised us. When we understand faith, the impossible becomes possible. God is faithful to his word. Again, do we believe that? You know, it's important. We really need to, you know, one thing the Ruach has just really been laying on my heart as well. We really need to guard our hearts and our minds regarding who we listen to, what we're listening to, because words are powerful. And if you're listening to somebody who doesn't believe in the power of God, who doesn't believe that God still heals today, who doesn't believe in the gifts of the Ruach, that's going to cause doubt in your heart. We need to listen to people who agree with the word of God, believe that God's word is true, and that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Those same miracles that happened in the first century through Yeshua and through the apostles are still the same miracles that should be happening today in the lives of believers. Hallelujah. So that word faith in the Hebrew is emunah. It's a noun meaning truth and faithfulness. It is used to describe God's character and his actions. So let's, I just want to pull those scriptures out. Let's look at Deuteronomy 32, 4. 32 verse 4. And again, he left us with his word, showing us time and time again how faithful he is, even when his people were unfaithful. We see God's grace and mercy, even when we've been unfaithful. When we repent, we see his grace and his mercy working on our behalf. Deuteronomy or Devarim 32, 4. The rock, blameless is his work. Indeed, all his ways are just. God of faithfulness, without iniquity, righteous and upright is he. The psalmist often uses this word in their praise of the Lord and his faithfulness. So let's look at those psalms, Psalm 33, verse 4. I really believe he wants to use every single one of us in a great way, especially in the coming year. Again, you hear, you know, a lot of warnings that hard times are coming. Yes, we know that, but we don't have to fear it. Look at the first century believers. You don't think they had hard times? You don't think that they, you know, they were living under the shadow of wacko emperors who thought they were gods? You know, they had the threat of being thrown to lions, burned at the stake. Where, you know, they had to meet in caves at times because it wasn't safe. 33:4. For the word of Adonai is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to the next verse, 5. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the love of Adonai. And then Psalm 100, verse 5. You know, when David was going through a rough time, when, you know, it seems like everybody was turning against him, you know, except for a faithful few, what did he do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself with his word and through worship and through reminding himself who God is, how mighty he is, and how powerful he is, and what he had promised to him. Psalm 100, verse 5, for Adonai is good. His loving kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So the same God, the same Yahweh Elohim that was faithful to Abraham, that was faithful to Moses, that was faithful to all his promises to Israel, this is still faithful to those of us in this generation in Messiah Yeshua. Psalm 119, verse 90. Let's begin with 89. Forever, Adonai, your word stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures from generation to generation. So we are a part of that generation. You establish the earth and it stands. Your judgments stand today, for all things are your servants. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read this whole section here. If Torah had not been our delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for with them you have kept me alive. I am yours, save me, for I have sought out your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will study your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, yet your commandment is boundless. Next, that word faith also is another word for faith, and that is trust. Again, imunah is, again, means truth and faithfulness, but bata is the word for trust. Sorry, I got them twisted around. So bata, it's a verb indicating to trust, to be confident. Who are we to trust and be confident in? We are to trust in his word. We are to be confident in his faithfulness. It expresses the feeling of safety and security that is felt when one can rely on someone or something else. So we can fully, 100% rely and be secure in the promises of our Father, in the faithfulness of our Messiah, Yeshua. Psalm 4, 6, 9, 11, and Psalm 33, 3 to 5. Psalm 4, 6, offer righteous sacrifices and put your trust in Adonai. We are to put our trust in him every day. You know, Yeshua said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow he has enough cares and worries in itself, but we are to walk one day at a time. So every day when we wake up, Father, I trust you today that your perfect will is going to be done in my life. Psalm 9:11, those who know your name trust you. For you, Adonai, never have forsaken those who seek you. Again, the psalmist, this is David speaking. We know your name, and we speak his name every Shabbat. We're speaking all the different aspects of his name every Shabbat, reminding us who he is and what he does on our behalf, and that he will never forsake those who seek him. Psalm 37, 3 to 5, trust in Adonai and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on faithfulness. This is something we need to do. Number one, we feed on his faithfulness, but we are also to be a faithful people. Delight yourself in Adonai, and he will give you the requests of your heart. Another translation says he will give you the desires of your heart. And I believe a way we could look at this as well is we are delighting in Adonai, as we are loving him, that his desires become our desires. Commit your way to Adonai, trust in him, and he will do it. And every day we commit our way, we commit our ministry, we commit our lives, our families to him, and trust him. That's why it's important to speak forth his word. To, again, we're a ministry who prays the word. Most of your prayers in your in the Jewish siddurs and the Messianic siddurs are all scriptures. The Jewish people knew the importance of praying the word and standing on the word and keeping that word within our hearts. This is in the Greek. This is from Vine's study of New Testament words. The word faith is pistis. It means a firm persuasion, a conviction upon hearing, akin to pitho, to persuade. It used in the New Testament always of faith in God or Messiah or things spiritual. Again, a firm, do we have a firm persuasion, that when he tells us, again, we need to be led by the Ruach regarding, you know, how we're ministering. But if he says, okay, I want you to go out and preach the gospel, I want you to pray for people, I want you to trust that I'm going to lead you, are we going to do it? Are we going to trust him? Because number one, we can't heal anybody. We can't save anybody. Okay, we are his vessels. We are walking in the power of the Ruach as his disciples, doing what he commanded to you, but it's only God that can save somebody. Again, as we are ministering the word and speaking the word, the Ruach HaKodesh is there bringing conviction unto the heart where that word is going. Again, the word always finds its target, always hits the target. And then I don't care what look is on that person's face when that word is going in, it's bringing conviction upon their hearts. Whether they receive it at that time or not, that's in the Father's hands. But again, he needs us to be out there preaching the word. He works with us, confirming the word with signs and wonders, confirming the word. If he tells us, you know, pray for this person and, you know, lay hands on them. Look at the miracles that happened in the first century. I mean, the apostles had, again, no doubt that when they prayed for somebody under that anointing, that they would be healed. And great signs and wonders followed their ministries. The word is used, again, of trust in Matthew 9, 2 and 29. We're going to read those scriptures. You build your faith by speaking, confessing his word, and getting it into your heart. Again, that's how he created us. When we're speaking it forth, number one, our mind is getting renewed. It's getting into our spirit. It's building faith and trust because his word is alive and power and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It enters into us, bringing correction. And at the same time, is going out of us, bringing his life, his love to other people. Matthew 9:2. Just then, some people brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a cot and seeing their faith. How did he see their faith? Because they were bringing literally this man to them. Yeshua said to the paralyzed man, "Take courage, son, your sins are forgiven." So here we read in full context, you know, that this man was totally paralyzed and his friends brought him there believing that he would be healed because they heard of Yeshua. They put action to their faith. They just didn't wait until Yeshua happened to come by their house. They literally brought the man to Yeshua. And I think this is the instance where they even opened the roof of the house to bring him down into the house. And Yeshua again saw their faith and their faith triggered that healing. You know, some people say, well, how come, you know, I prayed for that person and he didn't get healed? Or how come that person died of cancer and they were a believer? You know, those questions, the secret things belong to the Lord. We don't know, you know, the situation in that person's heart. We don't know if maybe they just were ready to go to be with the Lord. Again, it's not for us to judge. God's word, however, is always true. And we trust the Father. If they were a believer, even if they didn't get the healing they were seeking, they were healed. Why? Because they're with Yeshua. All the sickness, all disease is gone from their life. All their troubles are over because they're with him. But again, this is part of his covenant. So it's not for me to judge why somebody gets healed and why somebody doesn't get healed. It's me just to us, not just me, but for us to walk in faith and believe God at his word. An example that I've given 5 years ago, in fact, it was just before Passover. We were getting ready for a Passover Seder. Minister Scott kept on having, you know, blood in his urine. And they thought, oh, it was just a, you know, an infection. And, you know, he went to several doctors. They said, oh, it was just a urinary tract infection. And finally he went to, but it kept on happening and it was getting worse. So finally he, you know, the Ruach led us to the right doctor. And he said, well, let me run some tests. And as he ran some tests, it was like, you know, you've got cancer. It's a tumor in your bladder. So they took more tests, and they saw, and again, it was this was, they told him it was a very aggressive type cancer in his bladder. And you know, again, when he heard those words, I wasn't in there with him. I was waiting outside. He came to the car, and I could see his face, and there was tears in his eyes. And he says, you know, they say I've got cancer. And I, you know, but right then we had to make the decision. Hey, you know what? We know what the word says. We're going to stand on the word. We went to meet with the one doctor who was the one who treated his cancer with the treatment that they use for bladder cancer. And the, you know, the doctor has to tell you the, you know, the worst case scenario. So that really builds faith in you. So we're just, you know, looking at each other. Nope, we know what the word of God says. And he goes, well, this could happen and this could happen. And we kept on saying, that's not going to happen. And he just looked at us like, well, you know, we may end up doing that. That's not going to happen. You know, we're just believing God. And just this year, he had his final cancer treatment. Again, he, and what was he doing in interim? He was confessing, he was speaking forth the word, confessing the healing promises over himself. He was strong in faith. Again, we know what the word says about healing, but you know, the test comes when you're actually confronted again with this kind of report. I always say you have to walk in the doctor's office with faith because you never know what he's going to tell you. And this, the last test they give him, he was cancer-free, the cancer's gone. And actually, you know, the doctor was really astounded in a way, because he says, well, this was a really aggressive cancer. Most people can't even tolerate the treatment that you went through. And so it was a testimony to him, because Minister Scott always witnesses and shares the Lord with all his doctors, you know. And even though, you know, I mean, we've been blessed the past few years where we've had doctors that were actually believers, but this one wasn't. But you know, they need to hear the word too. They need to hear that there's someone greater than them that can bring healing. God uses doctors. He works with them, but they can only do so much. You know, they can only do what they, what, you know, the medical field, their, you know, what they've studied tells them, okay, this will work. But ultimately, it's, you know, God that brings the healing. And, you know, praise God, glory to him that he was, you know, healed in Yeshua's name. Again, it's, that's when your faith is put to the test. This is where you find out, do you really believe God? Are you really believing what you say you believe? And, you know, we just knew that, you know, Father, your word is true, and we're just trusting you. You are the healer. And again, he confessed the word every day. He was praying the word and trusting him. And that manifestation came. Matthew 9:29, then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be done for you. Again, these were those that were blind. Let's just look at that. Matthew 9:29. This is just speaking of, again, different events that happened in the life of Yeshua, where he was praying for people. And you know what? If it wasn't God's will to heal, then why was Yeshua going around healing all that were sick and tormented by HaSatan? Because they were covenant people, and it was their will to be healed. And it was, again, a witness to them also of his messiahship. Let's see me look at this verse 29 here. Let me go up in context. 9:23, when Yeshua came into the synagogue leader's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said, go, okay, this is the resurrection of the girl. What is it? Scripture 9:29. I just wonder if this is, oh no, okay, so we want to okay, well, we'll include the because that's important too, the resurrection of the young girl. When Yeshua came into the synagogue leader's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said, go away, for the girl isn't dead, but sleeping. And they began jeering at him. But when the crowd had been cleared out, he went in and took her hand, and the girl got up, and the news of this spread all around the region. So here's an example too. He didn't need doubt and unbelief, you know, in that house. and making all kinds of, coming against, what his anointing. He cleared him out. He says, get out of here. Verse 27, as Yeshua went on from there, two blind men followed him. Okay, crying out, Ben David, have mercy on us, or Son of David, which is a messianic title. When he went into the house, the blind men came to him, and Yeshua said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Again, do you believe? Yes, Master, they said. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be done for you. And their eyes were open, and Yeshua warned them sternly, see that no one knows. But they went out and spread the news about him all around the region. So here, that miracle caused more people to hear about Yeshua. Acts 26, 18. So let's go there. I just want to go, I like reading the scriptures in context than just a part of the reference. Hallelujah. Thank you, Ruach HaKodesh. Hallelujah. 26. And this is a Tree of Life version that I'm reading from. Okay. Ah, 26:18. Okay, this is again Paul's testimony regarding how he came to believe in Yeshua. So let's begin with verse 12. While journeying to Damascus with the authority and commission of the ruling Kohanim at midday, O king, he's giving his testimony to King Agrippa. I saw on the road a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those traveling with me. When we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Yeshua, whom you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things that you have seen, as well as the things that I will reveal to you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, or Yahweh Elohim, that they may receive release from sins as well as a place among those who are made holy through trusting in me. So again, here we see the opening of the eyes is the spiritual opening of the eyes. You know, that when we are, again, when a person hears that word and he receives the word, his eyes are open. That darkness, again, all of us who are born again can attest to that. That darkness is gone, and we see again our that spiritual light comes into us. We have again that understanding of who Yahweh is, who Yeshua is. Again, to open their eyes. That's the commission. That was a commission to Paul. That's our commission. For those that are in darkness, there's millions of people still in darkness out there, especially in the Chicago and surrounding areas. They need the light of Messiah. They don't need the compromised word of God. They need the true word of God. They don't need their ears tickled. They need the truth being spoken to them. That's going to open their heart and open their eyes and bring them to repentance. The value of our authority rests on the power that is behind that authority. You know, for an example, police who stop traffic are backed by the city government as they serve. Again, their uniform, their badge, everything they have says, hey, we have authority, to do what we're, the government backs us to do. As a believer, our authority is backed by God Himself and heaven's government. Yahweh backs up His word. When we are trusting His word and doing what His word says and acting upon His word, He backs up His word. And we better be sure that if when we pray for people and they're healed, that He gets the glory. Again, it's not about, being some having some huge healing ministry that everybody follows all over the place. We all have a healing ministry. We all have a call to pray for people, you know, and speak the word to people, because that's what Yeshua told us to do. And he knows who have hearts to hear and who have eyes to see. That's why we need to be led by his Ruach. And I'm looking forward to this summer when we'll be able to do some more Shabbats in the park. And even, you know, when we go to the restaurants, you know, believe in God that he'll give us opportunity to minister to the waiters or waitresses and be a light to them and be a blessing to them. Sometimes we just may be planting seeds. Maybe we'll be watering a seed that somebody else planted. Maybe we'll be blessed to see that person come to fullness of faith in Messiah. We see from the very beginning in Genesis or Bereshit 1:26 that God gave Adam authority to dominate the earth. He's again, let's go look at that. We studied that in detail, but let's just read that. As the Father wants to encourage us today as well. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the flying creatures of the sky, over the livestock, over the whole earth, and over every crawling creature that crawls on the land." So again, he gave Adam this authority, and we know the story. Him and Hava threw away that authority and gave it to HaSatan, but Yeshua took that authority back that we have in him. Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give unto you power and authority over all the power of the enemy." So let's look at that. Luke 10:19. Again, it's his power, his authority. It's his name, the power of his name. HaSatan quakes at the power of the name of Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. Luke 10:19. And don't let the enemy lie to you and say, "Oh, you're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You don't have the ability." Yes, you do. If God called you, then he equipped you. Then he gave you the anointing that you need to do what he has called you to do. The ability, the gifts that were placed in you in your mother's womb are all to be used for his glory. 10:19. Let's see. We'll begin with verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Master, even the demons submitted to us. How in your name?" So this is where, this is before the resurrection. He sent 70 men out. Again, that these were his disciples. His core group was 12, but he had many other disciples as well. He sent them out in his name, in his power, in his authority. And when they came back, they were amazed how the demonic spirits had to submit to his name, not to our name, not to our ability, but the name of Yeshua. And Yeshua said to them, "I was watching Satan like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you." Again, it wasn't just for them, it was for every disciple who would follow up to the time when Yeshua returns. "Nevertheless, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names have been written in heaven." Here we see again, power and authority is used twice, but they are two different words interpreted. "I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions." This is spiritual authority. This isn't literally meaning, oh, pick up scorpion, you know, you pick up snakes and scorpions. No, this is talking about spiritual enemies, HaSatan, and the over the power, okay, and over all the power of the enemy. Again, he's not talking about snakes and spiders. Yeshua is talking about the power of demons, evil spirits, etc., and how to face the enemy fearlessly, again, with courageously. If we believe in his name, if we believe that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and that every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess that he is Lord, when we go out there and we use the name of Yeshua, the demons know who he is. and they tremble because they know he's already whipped them. We have authority over them, every demon, every disease and disaster that Satan brings. God himself is the power behind our authority. We see, let's go to second or 1 Samuel 17, because I want to read more than just this one verse. Again, this is regarding David facing Goliath. Now, this was a bold young man who knew his covenant, who knew who his Yahweh Elohim is. Let me see. I want to start with, let me look here. Let's see, I think verse 45, I want to start with when I want to read the whole content, because listen to David's words. So let's begin with verse 43. Then the Philistine, who we know is Goliath, said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" Then the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Now remember, Israel was filled with brave warriors, but none of them wanted to face this Goliath. They were all trembling, you know, they were all in fear. And here's this young shepherd boy, about 17 years old, who knew who he was, who knew what his authority was. And here's what, again, to go on. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me so I may give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field." Again, this is HaSatan intimidating him. Again, because this is what, you know, Goliath is speaking. That's what the enemy would try to do. He tried to intimidate us from doing what God has called us to do, from being a light in the darkness, causing us to fear. But what did David do? Then David said to the Philistine, "You are coming to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I am coming to you in the name of Adonai Zevaot, God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This very day, Adonai will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and take off your head, and I will give the carcasses of the Philistines' camp today to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts and earth. Then all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. And so all this assembly will know that Adonai delivers, not with sword and spear. For the battle belongs to Adonai, and he will give you into our hands." Now here is a 17-year-old boy, no armor on, just a slingshot and five stones. He knew what his covenant was. He knew who his God was. And he boldly faced somebody who was probably about 6 feet taller than he was, filled, you know, with a full armor on, with a sword and a spear intimidating him. But he wasn't intimidated. Why? Because he believed God. He had faith in the God of Israel. May we have that kind of faith and courage. Acts 16:25. So let's go to Acts 16. Again, y'all should always have your Bibles with you. Your Bible should be well worn out. Hallelujah. I don't have anything against electronic Bibles. I use them when I'm doing notes and writing things, but I love the Word of God in, you know, on paper. Hallelujah. Let's see. Okay, this is regarding Paul and Silas when they were in prison. Verse 16:25. "But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to him." So here they are in a dungeon, chained in a, and again, these dungeons were damp. They were dark. They did not have fancy cots for them to lay on. And, you know, I'm sure they were filthy, dirty. What were they doing? They were praying and singing hymns to God. "Suddenly there was a great earthquake that the foundation of the prisons were shaken. Immediately all the doors were unlocked and everyone's chains came loose." So here we see a supernatural miracle. "When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners had escaped," because he knew that if they had escaped, he would have been killed. Not by the prisoners, but by Rome. And Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. After he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Put your trust in the Lord Yeshua, and you will be saved, you and your household." So again, his household still had to believe as well. But again, faith comes again by trusting in Yeshua. And here they, again, that was a testimony, a miracle. Here they were, right? I mean, they could have been, you know, groaning and crying and complaining, but what were they doing? They were praying and singing hymns, which are more than likely hymns from the Psalms, hymns from the Torah. And we see, again, a miracle. Is anything impossible for our God? It's only impossible if we believe it's impossible. The return of the 70. This is when, again, I already read this. Yeshua sent the 70 out. They returned and they were, you know, just amazed how the demons submitted to the name of Yeshua. Again, Yeshua's name is just as powerful today as it was back then. The word authority is the Greek word exousia. It means it is permissible or allowed, permission, authority, right, liberty, power to do something. As exousia denies the presence of a hindrance, it may be used either of the capability or the right to do a certain action. The words exousia and exousia combine the two ideas of right and might. As far as right authority or capability is concerned, it involves ability and power and strength. Again, Yeshua said, "All authority has been given to me. Now you go." He has given us that authority. He has given us permission, that calling to use his name. And all the power of heaven is behind his name. Another word for power is dunamis. Means to be able, a power, especially achieving power. I heard somebody say that that's really where we got the word dynamite, is explosive power. All the words derived from the stem duna, having the meaning of being able or capable. It may even mean to will. Contrast iskus, which stresses the factuality of the ability, not necessarily the accomplishment. In other words, we can say, "Oh, you know, yes, I believe that that's a fact, that Yeshua has given us that authority." But if we don't go out there and use his name to minister to people, we won't accomplish what he has called us to do. The power of God is manifested, i.e. the manifestation of the power of God. With the general phrase of God, it expresses the source or the power imparted from God. So the anointing we have is imparted from God himself. When we receive, again, the baptism, the anointing of the Ruach HaKodesh, we are receiving his power. So Yeshua said in Acts chapter 1, "You will receive power from on high." We need that power to do what he has called us to do. We can't do it in the flesh. We can't do it in our own power. We have to do it in the power, in the name of Yeshua, in the power of God, filling our lives with boldness, with courage, with the anointing, with that zeal to do what he has called us to do. He wants to use us in the same way that he used the first century believers. You know, I believe we're living in a day where he wants to see that more and more we're true believers who are walking in the fullness of God, walking in the truth of his word, totally committed to his kingdom, totally committed to being obedient to him, that to see those same signs and wonders that were in the first century. If they needed it in the first century, if they needed it during the time of the apostles, it's needed today, if not even more, because of the more demonic influence going out there over the airwaves. Again, it's spoken of miraculous power, the mighty power of signs and wonders, meaning the power of working miracles. You need to look up these scriptures on your own, and this is something you need to meditate on and to get into your heart. Again, it's for to bring him the glory, to bring him the honor, to bring, see people know that, hey, God loves them. God cares about them, that his power is real. His love is real. He gave us, again, that power of attorney. A power of attorney is a legal document in which an individual called the principal chooses to authorize another person to act on his or her behalf for any purpose spelled out in the document. Our legal document is our covenant, the word of God. Hallelujah. Who is the principal? Yeshua HaMashiach. Who are the people he authorized? His Talmudim, which is us. Hallelujah. Paul being grieved, and again, this was in context. Let's go to Acts 16. This is another, here we see the gifts of the Spirit in operation. So let's see, let's begin with verse 16. It so happened that as we were going to prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination. Okay, going to prayer, they more than likely were going to the local synagogue, who was bringing her master much profit from her fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept shouting, saying, "These men are servants of Elion, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." So yeah, she was speaking the truth, but she was speaking the truth through the enemy for wrong motives. Okay, trying to cause a disruption. She kept doing this for many days. I mean, can you imagine? This wasn't just like a few minutes. I mean, days she's following after them. And for days she's saying this. And again, at first, probably Paul just, you know, here, you know, he didn't think anything of it. But all of a sudden, but Paul was irritated and turned and said to the Spirit. So here he's getting a word of knowledge. He's getting a revelation that, wait a minute, this is a demonic spirit that, you know, the enemy is trying to bring confusion to what we're called to do. He goes, "I command you in the name of Messiah Yeshua to come out of her." You know, that's one thing the Ruach put on my heart too, that when we pray in Yeshua's name, we should use the full name, Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua, the Messiah. And it came up out of her that very moment. Again, he didn't have a conversation with the demon. He was, again, the Ruach was, you know, he was being disturbed. He said, you know, irritated that, you know, hey, something's not wrong. And he just turned around and cast the demon out. But when her master saw that the hope of profit was gone, why? Because she was making big money. Hey, fortune telling even today is big money. It's big business. Calling up those, you know, phone lines to get your fortune read. All it is demonic deception. But they're making millions of dollars. But when her master saw that the hope of profit was gone, they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they brought them to the chief authorities, they said, "These men are throwing our city into an uproar. Being Jewish, they advocate customs which are not permitted for us to accept or practice, being Romans." Then the crowd joined in the attack on them. So the chief authorities ripped their clothes off of them and commanded them to be beaten with rods. After inflicting many blows on them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to guard them securely. And having received this charge, he threw them into the inner prison. Okay, the inner prison was the dungeon, the worst place to be, and fastened their feet in the stock. And just before we read, okay, after being beaten, after being, again, thrown in prison because of, you know, these masters weren't able to make money from the slave girl anymore because she got set free. We see that, what did they do? They were praising and singing hymns to God, and God delivered them and set them free. But they were willing. I mean, these were men, and, you know, and men and women of God, who they were fearless. They were courageous. They were totally focused on doing what God had called them to do, and that is to minister the word of Yahweh Elohim. Acts 19, verse 11, and God was doing extraordinary miracles by Paul's hands. so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched his skin were brought to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Again, this was a situation in Paul's life because of the anointing and the power of God. That anointing again would flow into these pieces of cloth, and that even people were set free and delivered from that. I know there's, you know, some organizations that, you know, kind of use this scripture out of context. You know, I've seen them say, well, you know, send us $20 for an offering of $20. We'll send you an anointed prayer cloth, you know, that you can put on you and receive healing. No, we don't have to pay for an anointed prayer cloth. You know, as people didn't pay for these anointed handkerchiefs and aprons. It was just something that happened. It was, again, a miracle, a blessing. We can pray and believe God's word. You don't have to pay for healing. And if anybody's ever asking you for money to be healed, run the other way. God does not charge for healing and for deliverance. But we see, again, there's people out there that they're, you know, they're charlatans, they're ripoffs, and they will try to, you know, use people's, you know, sickness and diseases to deceive them and think, oh, if you send that always just rubbed me the wrong way. It's like, wait a minute, we can't, you know, pray to the Father ourselves and receive healing, or have our brother and sisters agree with us in prayer and receive healing. We've got to send them so much money to receive this healing. I even heard this one well-known evangelist, I don't know if he's around anymore, but somebody was telling me that they heard him say that. He said that, well, if you want to see, I'm trying to think, what is it? Anyway, this was a gist of, if you want to see God prosper you, you just send us $500. Well, you know what? God, you know, that's again manipulating people. That's manipulating people's hope. Yes, God promised in his word that he will bless us as we support the gospel, as we support our community. That's part of his promises. But you don't, you know, again, try to manipulate people with the word of God. Manipulate, you know, it's like, you know, they think that they're playing the lottery with God's word. You know, well, you do this and, you know, God will, you know, do this for you. He, whatever he does on our behalf, he does because we have faith in him, because we trust him, because we love him, and because we're serving him. And it's always according to his plans and purposes, his perfect will, which is his word. Verse 13, but some traveling Jewish exorcist also tried to invoke the name of the Lord Yeshua, saying, I charge you by Yeshua, whom Paul preaches. Now, these are people who didn't have a relationship with Yeshua. Seven sons of a Jewish ruling Kohen named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, I know Yeshua and I know Paul, but who are you? And they recognized that they didn't have that covenant relationship with Yeshua or the authority to use his name. Now, if they got born again, they'd have the authority. But again, their motives were wrong. Then the man with the evil spirit sprang at them, subduing and overpowering all of them. So they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Then the man with the evil spirit sprang at them. Again, that's a, sorry, the duplicate. So what was the result? Verse 20. So the word of the Lord was growing in power and prevailing. Why? Because the word was being preached. True miracles were being done, and it was the word again was growing in power and prevailing. We still need that same power today as well. To have authority in the kingdom of God, you must be under authority. So let's look at some of these scriptures. We see that Yeshua was under the authority of his Father, Philippians 2, 8, 9. Let me just get there. Ephesians, Philippians. But sometimes these littler books are harder to find than the big ones. Come on. Oh, here we are, right in front of me. Okay, Philippians 2, 8 and 9. I'm looking right at it. Okay. He humbled himself, this is regarding Yeshua, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue profess that Yeshua, the Messiah, is Lord to the glory of God. So here we see that he, in the prior, that he emptied himself. He was totally submissive to what God's will was. Again, he, remember, he walked as a man, a perfect man without sin, but if he had to be a man, he had to refer to him as a second Adam, just like the first Adam literally sold out humanity. Yeshua bought humanity back through his flesh, through his death. He was submitted to God's, to his Father's authority. He always said, I speak what the Father tells me to speak. I do what the Father tells me to do. Matthew 8, 5 to 10, we see an example of authority that Yeshua was very impressed by what this Roman soldier had to say, and he commended him for it. Chapter Matthew 8, beginning with verse 5. Now, when Yeshua came into Capernaum, a centurion came begging for help. Now, a centurion was a very high-ranking Roman soldier. Master, he said, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, horribly tormented. Yeshua said to him, I'll come and heal him. But the centurion said, Master, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Now, when Yeshua heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, Amen, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. So here, this centurion recognized the authority of Yeshua. He recognized again who he was and the authority he had. Why? Because he was, again, a soldier under authority. He knew what it meant to walk in authority and what, you know, those who were in authority, the power that they had. And he recognized that authority in Yeshua, and his servant was healed. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 30, verse 8, David under God's authority. So let's look at that as well. First Samuel 30, verse 8. Okay, let's begin with verse 6. So David was in a serious bind, for the troops were calling for his stoning, for all the troops were bitter of soul, and every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in Adonai his God. So here we see, under this great pressure, again, they were all the wives had been taken captive during this raid. And again, all the soldiers were mad. They were bitter because, you know, their sons, their daughters, their wives were taken. So what did David do? The first thing he did was to strengthen himself in Adonai. Then David said to Abiathar, the Kohen, son of Ahimelech, please bring me the ephod. So the ephod was the from the priestly garment, which where they would receive direction from the Lord. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired of Adonai, saying, so here, David inquired of Adonai what to do, because he was under Yahweh's authority. He knew that it was Yahweh alone that could give him the victory. Should I pursue after this raiding band, or shall I overtake them? And he answered him, who, Yahweh? Pursue, for you will surely overtake, and you will surely rescue. And the story goes on. Yes, they overtake, and they rescued all the wives and sons and the daughters. But again, what did he did? He inquired of Adonai first. He recognized God's authority over him as his servant. And then James, Yaakov chapter 4. So let's go there. Thank you, Ruach HaKodesh. Hallelujah. Thank you for your anointing and your word. Hallelujah. Thank you that this word is building us up and strengthening us this day. Therefore, submit to God. So, in other words, submit to God's authority over you, but resist HaSatan and he will flee from you. So we submit to Yahweh Elohim and we resist HaSatan and his lies. Again, we operate under the covenant authority of the word and Yeshua. Again, Yeshua said, all authority has been given to me. Now you go. Again, we saw then the example of David and Goliath. Again, God's power, and also in Moshe to Pharaoh. Again, Moshe went how? Under the anointing and authority of Yahweh Elohim, his power and authority. Again, when he faced Pharaoh, showed that Pharaoh was no match for Yahweh. And Moses was submitted to the authority of God when God told him to go, even though he felt, not able or not good enough. God, says go, and this is going to happen. We know the story. God miraculously delivered Israel, but Moses had to go and do what God told him to do as well. Mark 11, 23, 24. So let's go to that. And then I'll read the comments there. Again, these are Yeshua's words to us. And Yeshua answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Amen. I tell you, if someone says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but trusts that what he says is happening, so shall it be for him. For this reason, I say to you, whatever you pray and ask, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Of course, the key is asking within the will of God. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your transgressions. So again, that could be a hindrance to prayer, is unforgiveness. But here we see the words again, have faith, trust, believe. One, God does nothing apart from faith and trust in him. We see that all through scriptures. Two, don't ask the Father to move the mountain. He gave you the authority to move it in Yeshua's name. Our words carry much authority than we realize. Again, talking directly to the hindrance. Again, the mountain is, again, an idiom regarding anything that's hindering or in your way from doing what God has called you to do. Four, speak with command in your voice, knowing what you say is correct, and you believe your words are powerful when backed by the word of Yahweh. Again, it's his word that is powerful. And when we speak it forth in that power and authority, again, we are speaking in Yahweh's power and authority in the name of Yeshua. Believe you will have whatever you say when backed by God's word and his power. Again, in context, it's now, oh, I can have anything I want. No, it's what you say in accordance with his will and his word, especially when doing battle, especially when the enemy is trying to rob you and steal and kill and destroy from you. We have the authority to stand against that using the word of Yahweh Elohim and the name of Yeshua. Here we see the parable of the fig tree. Mark. Chapter, let's see. Oh, I didn't write the chapter down, Mark. Okay. I'll find it. Just give me a second. I think it's in the same. Well, anyway, I probably know it by heart. Again, he was walking past a fig tree. I think it's Matthew. Let me look at Matthew here a second. Okay, I can't find it right off the top of my head. But anyway, he saw a fig tree from a distance. He spoke to the fig tree because it should have been ripe. And the fig tree, he cursed the fig tree. And when the disciples walked past it again, they saw that what he had said happened, that the fig tree had, had shriveled and died. And they asked him, what does that mean? This is actually from David Stern's commentary. If Yeshua's cursing and drying up the fig tree had been a petulant reaction to disappointment because he couldn't satisfy his hunger, it would be unworthy of anyone, let alone the Messiah. But Yeshua is making a point by means of a prophetic drama acted out parable. The Tanakh examples include Jeremiah, who bought and then broke a clay bottle, Jeremiah 19, and Ezekiel, who made and then burned up a model of Jerusalem, Ezekiel 4 to 5. Even out of season, a fig tree in leaf, it must have been a leaf, it must have been in leaf to be seen in the distance, holds forth the promise of fruit. The normal early season for figs in Israel is June, but the early unripe fruit begins to show itself even before the spring leaves appear on the branches and often before Passover. We know that Messiah expects God's people to put forth the fruit of righteousness and that unproductive branches are thrown into the fire. Matthew 17. I knew it was a Matthew. Okay. Matthew 17. Okay, let's see. Verse 16 to 20. Oh, actually, this is another other verse he's looking to, but let's see. Well, let's look at Matthew. Oh, Matthew 7. No wonder. Don't be laughing at Rabbi. I know. Matthew 7, 16 to 20. It's harder for me to find things in the Tree of Life because it's not as marked up as my other Bibles. Okay, well, here he's speaking about judging fruit, Matthew 7, 16 to 20. Watch out for false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Grapes aren't gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree produces good fruit, but the rotten tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not produce good fruit is dropped down and thrown into the fire, so then you will recognize them by their fruit. So thus, Stern goes on to say, thus drying up, and you can look up those other references. Thus drying up of the fig tree is an acted out warning. Okay, in keeping with Proverbs 27:18, he who tends a fig tree will eat his fruit, and he who serves his master will be honored. Yeshua here is teaching his followers what it means to serve their master. Yahweh Elohim, it means simply to have the kind of trust that comes from Yahweh Elohim, and that they will wither away if they don't. Yeshua neither acts from irritation or resentment, nor performs arbitrary miracles like a magician. Every one of his supernatural acts has spiritual significance. So again, everything Yeshua did or said was for a purpose. And again, an example. Showing again, Yeshua also said, he goes, you need to abide in me. We need to abide in the vine. Let me look at this chat. Mark 11:20. Thank you, Lisa. Hallelujah. Let's look at Mark 11:20. I don't always see the chat, so Mark 11:20. Okay, it was just above. I missed it by one verse. As they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree shriveled from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Yeshua, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has shriveled up. And Yeshua answered, said to them, have faith in God. Thank you, Lisa. Hallelujah. It was like right in front of my eyes and I didn't see it. Hallelujah. So again, everything Yeshua taught and did was for a purpose. And he said that we need to abide in him. If we don't abide in him, we will shrivel up and wither. We need to be continually connected to him and with him. There's a Jewish saying, from your mouth to God's ears. I had a good friend of mine, Dale, who was, we used to go to this one church together, and she was a Jewish believer as well. And she used to always say that, from your mouth to God's ears. Hallelujah. Malachi 3:16. Then those who revere Adonai spoke with each other. Adonai took notice and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written before him for those who revere Adonai, even those who esteem his name. So they shall be mine, says Adonai Zevaot. In the day I make my own special possession, so I will spare them as one spares his son serving him. Then you will return and distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. For behold, the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace, when all the proud and every evildoer will become stubble. That day that is coming will set them ablaze, says Adonai Zevaot, leaving them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. Then you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. You will trample on the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I am making, says Adonai Zevaot. So again, we reread Mark 11:22. Go down to Matthew 17:14. When they came to the crowd, a man came to Yeshua, falling on his knees before him and saying, Master, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures and suffers badly, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. And Yeshua answered, said, O faithless and twisted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long will I put up with you? Bring him here to me. Yeshua rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed from that very hour. Then the disciples, or Talmudim, came to Yeshua in private and said, Why couldn't we drive it out? And he said to them, Because your trust is so little. So he answered them, Was it a failure on God's part? Absolutely not, because Yeshua, who was Yahweh in the flesh, rebuked the demon and it came out, and they should have been able to do so also, because he gave them that authority. But what was the problem? Because their trust was so little. Amen, I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Again, these are the words of our Messiah. These are the words that he is speaking us today. If there's an issue, we always need to check our heart, is because I don't really trust him. Am I doubting his word? Am I, is my faith little? Does my faith need to grow and become stronger? Again, that word mountain in the Greek is oros, and it's a proverbial expression. To remove a mountain means to accomplish great and difficult things. Matthew 17:20, and he said to them, again, because you trust so little, amen, I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain. Okay, again, something, a mountain is something that could looks great and difficult, but it's not great and difficult to Yahweh Elohim. Again, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will say to what was done. Yeshua answered them, amen, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only will you do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be thrown into the sea, it will happen. Again, what something, what is seems difficult to you is not difficult to God. What's the key? If we have faith and do not doubt, that's something that we need to grow in. And we always know where we are spiritually when we come across a test. How are we reacting? Are we reacting in faith? Or are we acting in doubt? Do we doubt that God is able to deliver us? Or do we know and believe his word that yes, he will deliver us? Hallelujah. Elvino Mokeno, our Father, King Father, I thank you that You are helping us to grow every day as we study your word, Father. As the one disciple said, help me, my unbelief. Help us to grow in faith, Father. Help us to go forth in that power and the anointing we need to minister to people, to speak the truth, Father, to do what you have called us to do, to be bold, to be courageous, Father, that you are with us always. You gave us the authority in the name of Yeshua, and we use his name in respect of who he is as our Messiah. We believe, Father, that as we go forth in faith, as we trust you and we go forth in our assignments and what you've called us to do, you are there to back us up, Father. You are there as long as we are walking in obedience, Father. We thank you that you are there to make provision for the vision, Father. You are there to give us creative ideas, to give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive. Father, we thank you again for your precious promises, that they are all true and amen in our lives. In Yeshua's name, amen. Hallelujah.